Hello, everyone. Hope you're doing great today. We are again coming to you from a Microsoft Teams studio, and I'm glad to be hosting a KPMG discussion to share insights around current trends in M&A and tax. My name is Josh Galvan, and I'm a KPMG partner based in Houston. For today's podcast, we thought we'd get the conversation started by listing just a few key items at play in the world today. Of course, there's the war in Ukraine. There's the COVID pandemic or the extended pandemic. The threat of flu season, of course, is upon us, and any variants of the aforementioned. Climate and ESGs, related tax legislation, interesting financial markets and interest rate rises, and of course, company activity around M&A, divestitures, and other transformation investments that might be happening, and many, many other forces, of course. All of these representing opportunity for companies and industries. And with these opportunities comes a demand for strategy, positioning, and a combination of talents that drive effective delivery and outcomes. Our KPMG teams assist clients in many ways with these opportunities, whether it's market scanning and analysis or business case development and due diligence, business function integration or strategic and technical support in accounting and tax. And in that, we aim to share information today that supports the efforts at our listeners' companies. I'm lucky to have two KPMG partners with me today, Mike Harling and Bruce DeMeyer, who both bring a wealth of experience and represent our advisory and tax practices. Glad to have you both with me today, guys. So let's get the conversation started. Mike, you've mentioned the huge year 2021 was for M&A, and of course, 2022 has been one for discussion as well. What trends have we observed in the energy sector in the last couple of years?
Hey, Josh. Thanks for having me. 2021 was indeed a busy year for our team, and we saw deals across multiple subsectors, renewables, including renewable natural gas deals from both livestock and landfill sources. We saw deals in the midstream sector and refined products. You know, there's a lot of interest in renewables and low carbon technologies around that are driving deals, or, you know, not just deals that have closed, but, you know, getting a lot of looks. The other deals we saw were primarily, I think, related to just portfolio balancing.
Got it. And as you think about what's specifically going on or could go on in the oil and gas subsector, which, as we know, is under significant pressure regarding climate impact and energy transition, but still experiencing some strong demand right now or some regrowth right now. What could we expect in oil and gas? Anything new or unique that you could predict in the next year or two?
Well, certainly, like you said, Josh, the oil and gas sector is seeing probably the most favorable economic environment they've seen in quite a while. Low commodity prices, you know, from 2015 essentially forward in a pretty tough environment in oil and gas. And now some of our traditional oil and gas companies are starting to make a little more profit and find the economic environment to be a little more hospitable. I think that you can see, you know, that naturally it's going to be two things. Oil and gas companies are going to play a big role in the energy transition, and you can expect to see them investing in new technologies, you know, renewable energy, carbon capture, and the like. But these same companies play a big role in our energy security as well. And so, as we know, oil and gas is a depleting asset and somewhat necessary for our energy security. So I expect you to see also investments in traditional oil and gas reserves as, you know, as companies move forward to replace reserves and continue to ensure our energy security.
Thanks, Mike. Bruce, good afternoon. Welcome again to the podcast.
Thanks, Josh, for having me. Happy to be here.
I heard a bit about tax credits from you lately, and of course, your colleagues and my KPMG partners going to market and serving clients in a variety of ways. With the recent related tax legislation, what is changing and how will it impact the market?
I think the biggest thing to refresh on is here in the U.S., we like to be a little bit unique in the way that we incentivize green energy and decarbonization, and we do almost all of it through the income tax code. And so most of that is done through tax credits, dollar for dollar offset against your tax liability. Given most renewable energy developers and the like aren't sitting on a whole lot of tax appetite, given there's a lot of maker's depreciation and the like preventing them from being taxable, this has historically required some very highly structured financial instruments done through tax equity structures. With the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, we had probably the most significant change and expansion of these tax incentives that we've ever seen. And given the fact that that's how the U.S. likes to incentivize such activities, it might be the most significant climate package altogether we've seen. And this includes a lot of new technology being eligible for tax credits, including those biofuels that Mike previously mentioned, but an expansion of the existing credits around green energy production through solar and wind sources, not to mention clean fuel production, you know, such as clean hydrogen or a general tax credit for clean fuel. On top of all of that, they're trying to make it easier for these developers to access the cash that these credits are created by. And for the first time ever, even though it's been talked about probably for decades, we have a small bit of these credits being able to be refunded. People refer to that as direct pay sometimes, where the government will cut the check directly, or what we call transferability, where you could sell your credit directly to someone rather than going through these highly structured arrangements in tax equity. So quite a massive change to the landscape here, specifically the tax landscape, but we're already seeing that transition to a massive change in the M&A landscape. And there's been a significant uptick in M&A in this space ever since the IRA came out.
Bruce, just to be honest, for the layperson, the guy like me who doesn't actually practice tax, it sounds very complicated. And yet I've heard that it actually, you know, depends upon a highly functioning, highly integrated tax department and consultants, perhaps, to help companies execute the actual business strategies around the opportunities, the business opportunities that the tax legislation presents. So just kind of riffing on that a little bit, could you talk a little bit about how a tax department, a tax function can play a role in help actually helping execute those strategies around things like energy transition or diversifying the company through M&A or other types of activities? Any insights you could offer there?
Absolutely. I mean, I think obviously the most important thing is for the tax department to be, you know, educated and caught up on all these new rules and to be at the forefront of all the guidance that's coming out. You know, with the massive expansion and the significant bill that came out, there's always going to be holes and there's always going to be required guidance because unfortunately Congress can't think of everything when they put in a rule. And so we're going to see a landscape for the next 12 to 24 months, maybe longer, of guidance coming out, generally in the form of regulations, but it might be other guidance. And the tax department's going to be on the front edge of that. And so there's probably a little bit here of the tax department just catching up their existing M&A departments to the existing rules and how people have historically played in this space. But you can imagine with all the new market entrants, you know, how many more people are showing up to this space? You know, how do you not only get caught up on what people have always done, but learn how the new way things are going to happen as a result of this new tax bill?
Thanks for that, Bruce. Guys, it's clear to me there's a lot of opportunity out there. Hearing what you've just shared today, it'll be interesting to witness and be a part of how things continue to unfold in our city and in the industry that we spend most of our time in, and other entrants to that industry or to energy as a sector in general. In spite of the global and other market forces I mentioned earlier, it'd be good to hear your thoughts on what trends are occurring and are anticipated to occur in the next year, 2-3 years plus. I'm thinking kind of mid-range into the future, and how companies will continue to evolve, you know, strategies, products, services, partnerships, and other things that they're doing in their market activity. Despite the challenges we've talked about, it seems like still there's a whole lot of opportunity. Would you mind reflecting on that? I'm again asking a question a bit more about the mid-range than the next 1 to 2 years. Mike, do you mind going first?
Sure, Josh. I mean, I think you're going to see continued investment in new energy technologies, whether that be wind, solar, hydrogen, or otherwise. Capital, I think, will flow into that effort for the foreseeable future. At the same time, I think you're going to see natural gas play a big role, and I think you're going to see quite a bit of capital flowing into natural gas infrastructure, whether it be, you know, LNG or similar. So those are the kind of things I see happening over the medium term.
And Bruce, what about you? These tax legislations here to stay and stay as it is, or can we anticipate in the mid-range even further evolution of that tax legislation, whether domestic in the U.S. or elsewhere?
I mean, I think the U.S. is always going to be a little bit different than everywhere else on this base. But if we look at the U.S. specifically and what's going to happen in the midterm and long term, I mean, the first and foremost, maybe the shorter midterm, is we're just going to see a lot more investment into these unique new spaces that are now tax incentivized that weren't before. Some of that is the biogas we mentioned, you know, clean hydrogen. And then the interesting thing about the legislation is that there are some new credits that start coming online in 2025 forward that are focused on clean energy and clean fuel production, regardless of the source. That is a big change in this rule, that rather than the government prescribing what is clean technology, they're going to prescribe and say, if your technology achieves the zero carbon result, you're going to get incentivized. And so I think we'll see a lot more investment in new technologies that maybe we don't even know what they are yet. And that's the goal of this legislation, is to drive investment into new technology and allow the taxpayer in the market to come up with that next new technology that's going to, you know, decarbonize and achieve the green energy future I think a lot of people are looking for?
Well, as an engineer by education and an engineer at heart, to me, that's really exciting to see how the energy transition and the energy technologies will evolve under regimes like this that actually incentivize around it. So I, for one, am excited for that. And I'm looking forward to the industry, companies, and us as consultants helping those companies in those undertakings. Guys, thanks again for your input today. I'm sure that I share with all the listeners, your perspectives are really valuable and right on time around this topic. So thanks to everybody for listening in. You can find related thought leadership on kpmg.com or connect with us on LinkedIn. You can also subscribe to KPMG podcast from the page where you found us today. Take care, and we look forward to reconnecting with you again soon. Bye-bye.